Welcome to the Saturday Morning Storytellers Edition here on the Crude Life, live from the Little Missouri Inn and Suites in Watford City. Carolyn Jappe is our guest this morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And we had Rib Fest yesterday, and you had an emergency tent there, and we're handing out cooling scarves.
Neck coolers, correct.
Neck coolers, okay.
Yes, we were.
Felt great. Any heat stroke yesterday?
You know, I think we kept people very hydrated. I probably think we went through 12 cases of water and 500 neck coolers, and people kept coming back to get them re-soaked, and I think it went rather well.
Those neck coolers were something else, and she put one on my dog as well, and she did not try to take it off. Frackleberry Hound loved it. She kept it on. And so talk to me a little bit about some of the emergency management going on here from, you know, the human side when it comes to ambulances, when it comes to hospitals. Are we doing okay with some of those things? Do we need more
you know,
state money? I guess we always need more state money. But
so I really work closely with I have 10 different volunteer fire departments that protect McKenzie County. Now, two of those departments are out of Montana. One of them's in Williams County. Newtown is actually one of mine, too, because they have a part of McKenzie County. So, and then the rest of all of the departments.
So and you said volunteer for all of them.
All volunteers. Mm-hmm. Then we have four quick response units, which that's Alexander, Arnegard, Keene, and Grassy Butte. And they're amazing because they show up on scene prior to an ambulance a lot quicker than an ambulance can get there. So they're all trained up. And then you have your different ambulance companies. So we're staying very busy. But those folks are really, truly who I really watch out for, and what I can do for them, I do all that I can, because they're the ones that keep us going. And it's just a group of dedicated people throughout the whole county.
One of the first stories we did was with a woman down in South Hart, North Dakota, who was hit by an oil truck. And then a couple oil guys from Patterson driving by basically were there, saved her, you know. So it was all oil. Just
correct.
All around. And so it was just a very real story. No positives, negatives. What I took out of it, though, was that anywhere from 45 minutes to 3 hours, somebody might have to wait for an ambulance out here.
Right.
And this was back in 2011 and 12. And then these kind of these regional hubs started coming. And talk to me about that. That was that Alexander Arnegard thing, right, that you were talking about?
Yes.
These different what's the correct terminology for these?
So those are quick response units.
Yes.
So we have EMRs, EMTs. Grassy Butte even has a couple of paramedics, but they're volunteer. So
they're volunteer too?
Oh, yes.
Oh, geez.
So as Watford ambulance would take, close to a half hour to get to Grassy Butte, those people are already getting services right out of the block, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've seen many lives saved. I serve on the Alexander Quick Response Unit, and the only reason I continue to do so now that we have more people is because I have watched lives being saved every day.
So seconds matter.
Seconds matter.
Yeah.
You can get cut, and if you had an artery, you can bleed out before anybody gets to you.
I thought about that on the Mottahay Trail. I don't have a snake bite kit with me.
Correct.
Can I get back to the hospital in time? I have no idea how long.
And there's only two hospitals in the state that carry venom to help you with that snake bite.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So it's quicker for a helicopter to grab that venom to bring it here than it is to get your little butt there.
Is that happening quite a bit?
It hasn't happened yet, but it was something I just learned recently, and I was like, oh my goodness, yeah.
Well, when you said that made sense, especially on an oil.
Yes.
Oil rig, which
absolutely
is, 20 miles outside of town in the bear's den.
Yes.
Or whatever it might be. So, okay, that's interesting. Especially with drones, I could definitely see that being a wave of the future.
Yes, definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the issues happening here. There's a lot of very good things happening, and the emergency networking and logistics continues to improve, it sounds like.
So I started here 7.5 years ago in my position, and in my mind at that time the biggest risk was the oil field. And so I'll tell you, I have some of the best relationships around with my oil field companies. We train, we exercise, we do things together all the time. So when I get called out, whether it be in the middle of the night or from the courthouse, if I work real close with that company, I have at least four, sometimes even more people to contact. I can contact them in a heartbeat because it doesn't bother me if they beat me to scene. That's not my goal. My goal is to let them know what's going on. And we work so closely together. I just did a four-hour tabletop exercise with a company a week ago. And you just get to know each other. You get to know your resources. You share ideas. I learn some every single time I train with a company, and I hope it works both ways. But I mean, it's powerful. I mean, I feel so good today. There's a couple of companies that haven't asked me to exercise or train with them, and I really feel for them. I hope that the day comes where they will. But for the majority of the companies out here, I enjoy working with all of them.
Are they still, you know, giving and donating? I know that a lot of these volunteer fire departments wouldn't even be in existence without the oil and gas companies.
So there are grants that you can apply for. Just to brag a little bit, recently I did get a grant from Crestwood, and I got a mobile air trailer for all our fire departments. So we're on, especially when you have structure fires, instead of loading all the tanks up, taking them to a fire department and re-putting more air in them, we can have the mobile air trailer right out there on scene. Marathon Petroleum last year gave me a grant to get a EOC hazmat trailer, so I can make it into any kind of trailer I want, whatever's in my dry storage, whatever event I'm heading to. Mm-hmm. I load her up and go.
Multi-purpose hazmat,
yes,
trailer. Huh?
Absolutely.
Wow.
You know, ConocoPhillips, they gave me $100,000 for radios. You know, the state's changing into a new radio system. It's $5,000 a radio. Well, some of my volunteer fire departments can't afford $5,000 a radio for, and those are for the truck radios. And then the handhelds are also $5,000. So with
people
that money,
don't realize that.
They don't. So we, my office alone, with my commissioner's blessings, we've already spent over $300,000 on radios just for volunteer fire departments, and you know, a few here and there for the police department and sheriff's department, but for the most part, everything has went to our volunteer fire departments, our quick response units, and our ambulances, because that's the most important piece in my mind, to keep people safe so we can continue to have the good communications.
Well, being a small business owner, I can understand those costs, because when you say radios, what I'm hearing is something that needs to be replaced every couple of years, because it's technology now.
Right, right.
And that's one of those costs that, unless you do get a grant or you do have some sort of, you know, influx of money, that's tough on a
right.
volunteer or a small business or anything, really.
Right.
And those become like hidden costs almost, you know,
because
they come out of nowhere.
Exactly.
I had them this year with my website. We had to upgrade our security from HTTP to HTTPS.
Oh, wow.
And whatever, that was a few grand. That's all I know. It was just, you know, another cost of doing business, and needed to be done, because emails were going in the spam. Certain webs, you know, browsers couldn't pull it up, and
Correct.
Are You a Robot would pop up on, you know, and you don't want that on your website.
No.
That turns people off. So
absolutely.
Volunteers, so. Fire departments, I try to do a public service announcement, a planet service announcement as much as I can, because people don't realize like 85% of them are volunteers still.
Well, let me share this with you, because I did speak at the North Dakota Association of Counties a couple years ago, and I got the numbers from the state fire marshal's office. There's 6 career fire departments in our state, 7 combination, and there's 358 volunteer fire departments in North Dakota. So in my little mind, that makes me believe that, and this is just Carolyn's guess, that we protect 95% of the land in North Dakota, because those career departments are usually big cities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fargo, Grand Forks, Dickinson, Bismarck, Jamestown, those kinds of things. And then you have your combination. So I would do anything for any fire department, no matter if they're career or volunteer. But my heart is really into my volunteers, just because, just like I had a fire department meeting the other night, you know, you have to train. You have to keep up to date with what's going on, and you don't want to ever put anyone in danger. So we just had 5 guys that graduated from Firefighter 1, and one of the gentlemen that is a long-time firefighter for Watford City teaches Firefighter 1 here locally, and we're so lucky to have him. And so it's just important.
You know, it's interesting, too, about a lot of these firefighters is many of them do work for the oil and gas companies.
There are a lot of them that do.
So when you think about that, a lot of them are small business owners too. And the
Correct.
Reason I bring that up is because the time. Mm-hmm. They're choosing to do this. The companies are either allowing them to be a firefighter, which is putting their employer in some danger,
Correct.
By the way. And they're, yeah. And then the other one is a small business owner doing this. There's a certain level of danger involved with firefighting. And these are volunteers putting
Correct.
Their lives on for the community.
Correct.
At the end of the day, just for the community. And I never thought of it from the land geographical point of view, about 95%.
That's my opinion. But
no, but that's fair. That's fair. Call it 90%. Okay. 90% of the North Dakota land is by rural volunteer firefighters.
Correct.
Okay. When I lived in Moorhead, Minnesota, we were so far outside of town that we were actually Dilworth Volunteer Fire Department. Our electric came from Halstead Cooperative, but we got all the city taxes because 20 years down the line, they were going to build in our neighborhood. So we started paying, and my kid, by the way, went to Montessori school, and we still got taxed for the public schools, right?
Right.
And so, anyway, the volunteer part of it is amazing to me just from a wildfire standpoint. You guys Correct. Have a lot of lightning strikes out here.
Oh, lightning's terrible out here. So just to give you an example, the other day, a combine got on fire, which is happens. And one of my firefighters in Alexander, because I'm on the Alexander Fire Department as well as the QRU, he called me and said, Carol and I have a truck with 200 barrels on the way. He wasn't out there, but his water hauler called me or called him and said, there's a fire. He goes, take your truck straight to the fire. I mean, everybody is really helping and putting in this year. I even have oil companies where they know there's no water source close by that they've even put frack tanks out full of fresh water, not pond water, but fresh water, so it's good for the fire departments. We're ready for a fire season if it continues to escalate, if the drought continues. So we're ready and prepared, but that's how it is out here. The companies are even doing all that they can to help us all, and the ranchers and the farmers, I'm handing out more masks because I want to protect them too. You know, putting out a wildfire, there are carcinogens out there, and I don't want them breathing that. So I keep them hydrated. I keep them masked up every time I can, and it's just everybody comes to the table and helps.
You know, the fires, of course, that's an annual thing, whether it be from the drought,
Correct.
Whether it be from wildfires,
Absolutely.
Whether it be from a combine on fire out in a field, and
Yep.
it just keeps going. So that always happens quite a bit. But are there any issues that are creeping up that are here now that people need to be aware about? What's like your number one issue right now?
I'm not trying to be negative, but my number one issue truly is saltwater. I love the oil field.
I've been saying that for a month.
But I could live without saltwater. So in my mind, I had a rancher come to me a couple of years ago because his cows quit drinking out of the well that he had had for 40 years. Now, 30 years ago, there was a saltwater disposal in that field. It's no longer there, but he did not have a background test. Department of Health will help, or the state will help, but you have to prove to them that you have a background water test for your well source, whether it's your drinking water, your well cattle water, whatever, to make sure that it was impacted by the oil field. So the other thing that's frustrating to me is we have 850 miles of saltwater pipeline. I'm not allowed to get that map. NDIC won't share that with me. Not that I'm trying to be a control addict, but it would just be nice to know where that kind of stuff is, because that is the one thing that people really don't pay attention to. I don't want to be an Aaron Brockovich movie in the future, trust me. I want to protect the people that I serve, and to me, everybody that's not on rural water, I really ask them, get a background water check. NDSU provides free water. They can do the free well water testing, or I have water bottles in my office that I'm giving away if they want to do their own and take it up to AstroChem in Williston. Somehow just get their water, just to get a background test to keep on file.
NDIC, North Dakota Industrial Commission?
Yes.
And what do you mean they won't give you a map? What is that? So
it's something they will not share.
You requested for a map, and they actually say we're not going to give it to you, or they just
Correct.
Ghost you?
No, they won't give it to me. So
well,
I also
weird.
Had my consultant.
Isn't that a state thing?
Yeah, I also had my consultant from KLJ who did my multi-hazard mitigation plan ask them. He said, well, let me try. I'll bet I can get it. And I said, go for it. No.
KLJ couldn't get it either, huh?
No.
Well, I guess I thought that would be public domain.
You would think it'd be public information.
Yeah, public information, domain, whatever it might be.
And, you know, here's the thing. It's just like the trucking company. I would tell you 99% of the truckers out there are great people. But then you have the people that come out here, the one that think they're going to make $1 million every year, and they're going to work 24 or 36 hours. Those are the people that I worry about. It's a probably very low percentage. It's the same thing here. When the big boom started, there was pipeline being thrown in left and right. Mm-hmm. And you had good companies, and you had, you know, just like the county, when we had this one company come in and put rural water pipelines down, it was a little frustrating to me. And I'm like, do we really have to take the lowest bidder? I mean, seriously, because you get what you pay for.
Absolutely.
So I think that holds true with the saltwater, too. And saltwater is, you know, it can It's just a lot rougher substance, too, than just fresh water.
It just seems bizarre to me because, you know, North Dakota has history with water, okay? There's the oil and gas industry, so you have to worry about, you know, the salt water. But the reason why our dinosaurs are so well preserved is because the arsenic levels. I don't know if you guys have arsenic up here, but you go to more southwest down into Bowman and into Marmoth and, you know, that sauerkraut triangle down south. You go down there and the arsenic levels are pretty high and you don't want to be drinking out of a well.
No,
and,
you don't.
And so you'd think that the state would be all over just giving you a map, like just when you enter the state.
Right.
So, boy, that's interesting to me. Do you guys have arsenic up here, by the way? Is that that's
I'm not,
not an
sure.
issue?
I'd have to ask. I'd have to ask.
No, you'd know because that would be a big issue. Yeah, arsenic is really good at preserving some of those dinosaur bones and things like that. And it is common. It's very not good for you. So you have to be careful.
Yeah, I don't think we
do
because I remember reading that gentleman's water report, and I don't think we did have any arsenic.
Yeah, just the look on your face, trust me, you would know if it was. Because when I do interviews down south, that's all they talk about. That's down in the Bowman.
Wow.
And some of those areas. Those are a lot of paleontologists, too, that love it. But Well, okay, so salt water, what are you hearing from the companies?
You know, a lot of it's private, you know, somebody that does pipelines. It's not the oil field companies that, there are a few that put pipelines in, but it's mostly different kind of companies that come in and are putting pipelines in for companies, subcontractors. But again, you know, I guess there's a little bit of oversight. I don't know how much there is, but it's just something I worry about, you know.
Is there any talk about, are they recycling it at all, or are there any talks about?
Not in North Dakota, no.
Okay, nothing.
I believe they are in Oklahoma, but not here.
Yeah, I think you're right. Down in the Permian, there is actually one that they opened up recently.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, and those are very expensive too, I imagine. But I'm just trying to think of some of the options that are out there and types of things. So, are you in communication with the state about some of these issues, or are you getting any feedback besides no, we can't give you our map?
You know, they do. I work very well with the Department of Health and Department of Environmental Quality, and when I do have a spill or whatever, they're out here and they're observing. But a lot of times, too, you know, again, the majority of the other people here will do what's right. Then you have a few of those people that won't do right. So if there is a spill or if there is, you know, whatever going on, there are those areas that aren't reported. So it's just good to know, especially you never know where the aquifer is at any point in time around the county because the county is so big. And when you talk about the Bear Den area, they do have mountains here. So it's just a thing where it's just always better to be prepared, you know, have a background water test in your file ready to go. Just if you're not on rural water, just to be safe in case something ever does.
And
go
do they
belly
contact
up.
You? Is that do they start with you or is
they can start with me? Okay. Absolutely.
There's not an 811 they call, like the 811's for pipelines, right? Call before you dig.
Yes, call before you dig. Yes,
yeah, that's right. 811 and there's 411 information.
Nope. I have a letter all prepared. I have handouts to go with it. I have water bottles where I can get a hold of NDSU. She's amazing. She goes out and tests people's water for them. So.
What would you like the operators to know, those people in Houston, Oklahoma, Denver, you know, that sort of thing, all the people that are doing business out here in the Bakken, and you're the emergency manager in McKenzie County, they're getting ready for their meetings, their annual meetings.
Oh, that's right, in September.
So what types of things should they be putting on the table from the emergency management in McKenzie County to discuss?
So as I mentioned earlier, for the most part, I train and I exercise with the majority of those companies. There's a few I haven't trained with for a few years. It's just important. It builds a good relationship. There's a lot that we can do together. And just I hope they keep up that good work because, it, you know, a lot of those people, the head guys aren't out here with the people that are out here working, and they don't know how good that some of their crews really are. But I have some great people out here that I work with. So.
Well, anything else that we can get out to the masses for you from the
I think everything's great. I love here. I love McKenzie County and the people here. It's just an amazing environment here, and I probably will retire here and continue to be a North Dakotan.
Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.